Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 1 through 12. The book of Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch. This shows us that it's a local church. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired, now I want you to notice this about the word of God, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and mischief, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I want you to look back at verse 8. This one was seeking, the last part of verse 8, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That goes to show us that whenever the Word of God is preached, the devil is always there to try to disrupt it. And he's always there to try to cause people not to believe the truth that they hear. So we want to bring you a message this morning on the believer and the faith. The believer and the faith. And the first thing that we'll do is give you an introduction by this in this manner. And that is describe what the faith is. And then we'll talk about what the believer is. And then we'll give you 5 points on remainder of the text. So what do we mean by the faith? By the faith we mean the whole body of revealed truth. We mean from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We mean the Bible. We mean the Word of God. And we're to believe all of God's Word. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, and I may just give you a part of it, but I'll give you enough. Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth into a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." And he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture came by men, by the will of man, but by God. And let me go ahead and read it for you and get the exact words in the latter part of it. It says, no prophecy of the Scripture, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For he says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we're talking about the faith as it pertains to all of God's Word. The Bible tells us that every word of God is pure, and He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. The Bible tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Bible tells us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so we find here that the ones that were seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, this particular one, was fighting against the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In fact, if you'll notice, the deputy believed when he saw what was done in verse 12, and being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So we continue on our thought to describe faith, or the faith, the believer in the faith we're talking about. Now then, if we look in the context here, we find in verse 5 and verse 7, the Word of God. Look at verse 5. They preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Verse 7, this man, this deputy, desired to hear the Word of God. In verse 8 is where this Elymas was trying to turn away the deputy from the faith. These are important points. You could drop on down and you find the doctrine of the Lord in verse 12. So all of these things tie together. Now then, what do we mean by the faith? We mean the doctrine of the Lord. What do we mean? In Galatians 1 verse 23, Paul preached the faith which once he had destroyed. In the book of Galatians 1 verse 23. In Galatians 2 verse 16, he says, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the faith. It's the whole body of revealed truth. Jude 3 tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So we're talking about what God has revealed to us that we're to take as a basis and a foundation for our faith, and then we become a believer. Because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Now then, we talked about the faith. Now let's talk about the believer. What do we mean by the believer? We mean one who has experienced real conviction of sin. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, having convinced him that he is a sinner and revealed Christ as the one and only Savior through the sure testimony of God's Word. And that's the way he is revealed to us. And conversion to Christ by trusting and receiving him as Savior. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, what? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We're talking about a believer now. Through repentance and faith have received Christ as Lord and Savior. And most always followed by that believing is confessing Him before men. And then he follows the Lord in water baptism to identify himself with the Lord. And then basically he should be in the house of God and be taught the Word of God. He becomes a child of God by means of the new birth. His sin has been atoned for by the blood of Christ. He is forgiven, the Bible says, in whom we have a redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He has been justified, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is saved, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. And then He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So I think that we've given you what the believer is. Now that's all by way of introduction. Now we want to give you five things, if we may, of what a real believer is. Of what a real believer is. A real believer, a true believer, is one who is converted to the faith. We're going to talk about, we've already seen it's an absolute necessity, but we're going to talk about what it is not, first of all. The people that are not really converted to the faith. And then we'll talk about what it is. First of all, what it is not. We have many who profess to be converted to the faith, claim to be a Christian, yet refuse the baptism of the New Testament, and yet refuse following repentance from sin. They should repent of sin, but they must repent of sin and faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. But the Bible tells us that those who do so are to be baptized, and He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 10, verse 48. We have those who claim to be converted that will not align with the New Testament church. And we find that the Bible teaches that we should be a member of the church. In Acts 2, verse 47, it says, then that they that glad... In Acts 2, I said 47. I'm reading 41. Acts 2, 41, it says this, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And on down in verse 47, it says, they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those that were being saved. So daily they were added to this local congregation at Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church. And people need to realize that once you profess Christ as Savior, you ought to follow the Lord in baptism. You ought to be a member of a local New Testament church. We have those who rob God of his tithe, his offerings, when the Bible says the tithe is the Lord. You go back in the Old Testament and you'll find that Abraham gave tithes before the law ever entered. And then Jacob promised God that he would give his tithes and his offering. In the book of Malachi, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. So we find those who profess to be converted that have no evidence of it in their lives. They reject the truth of eternal salvation. What is eternal salvation? The Bible says in Hebrews 5 verse 9 that Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. In the book of John chapter 3 verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And I've asked you to memorize that verse. The Bible tells us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal salvation, eternal redemption for us. There are those that will not accept the pre-tribulation return of Christ. Christ is coming before that tribulation enters. He's coming in the air for His own. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we're not looking forward to 7 years of tribulation like the Bible tells us that there will be. We're going to be taken up. The rapture and then the tribulation, and then there's going to come the return of Christ back to this earth and the millennial reign. A real believer is one who is converted to the faith. All of this is in the faith. It's in the Word of God. And you and I need to accept it and live by it. Then, secondly, I'm going to give you five things. Number two, a real believer is one who continues in the faith. Not just reading the Bible, but living by the Bible. Doing what it says. We're to live what we profess. Amen. And if we cannot live it, we should not make such loud a profession. But if we make that profession of faith, we ought to live by it. Brother Rich brought us a message Saturday morning to the men's meeting, and he was talking about that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're talking about continuing in the faith. Jesus declares, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Be a disciple, Jesus said, not just thinking about it, but continuing in it. Then are you my disciples indeed. He says in John 8 verse 31, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to be continuing in the Word of God and in the ways of God. Do you walk in the way that God would have you to walk? Are you surrendered to the will of God? The Bible says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers. They continue steadfast. You continue steadfast in the faith. It means in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings, and it does make a difference to all of us what we believe. They continued in what the apostles were teaching, the apostolic doctrine. And also we find that the Bible tells us that they continued day by day, steadfast. When people are steadfast in what they believe and continue to do what they profess to believe, that's a great testimony. The early believers had this kind of a testimony, else they would not have gone very far. John 15 verse 9, Jesus said this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We need to continue in the love of God. Continue ye in my love. 1 John 2 verse 19 says, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. We have people going in every direction to false teachings today because there's many cults around about us. There's all kinds of things that are supposed to be taught in the name of Christianity that are not Christian at all. And we have to deal with that. And you know, the devil is very ready to take the seed of the Word and to catch it away. You read in Matthew chapter 13 where he takes that seed and he catches away what is sown. If you turn to Matthew 13 verse 18, it says, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. He says, this is he which was received seed by the wayside. And we've got all kinds of different ways that different hearers, the indifferent hearer. We have the emotional hearer, for time with joy receives it. We have the double-minded hearer. And then we have an honest hearer who hears the word and receives it in the good ground. And it brings forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Continuing in the Word. Real saints not only are preserved, but also persevere. And you know these are twin doctrines or teachings. Preservation and perseverance. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, listen, beginning with verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said earlier in that 10th chapter, a stranger will they not follow, because they knew... Know not the voice of strangers. But he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So they follow him, but he gives eternal life. Eternal life that he gives is preservation. And following him is perseverance. So you have these two things joined together. I know them, they follow me, not turning back to the world, but following Jesus. And by the way, when we're talking about following Jesus... In his way, we know we as adults talk about his life as an adult. We talk about following Jesus and the things that he taught. We talk about following Jesus in his sufferings or in his perseverance or in his teachings. But you know, for young people, we have a lot of young people this day and hour that say, I want to follow Jesus. 10, 12, 14, 16 years old, teenagers we call them, and before. You want to follow Jesus? You know what? I find that when Jesus was 12 years old, where was he? He was in temple. Wasn't he? He was with the crowd, and I'm sure the children were having a good time as they were on their journey back from Jerusalem. But when the father and mother, when Joseph and Mary, and we know his foster father, we'll put it that way, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph went to look for him, they thought, well, he's bound to be in this bunch of young people here because they're having a good time here. And I'm not against children having a good time and playing together. They should. But where was Jesus? He was in the house of God. Young people, if you really want to follow Jesus, begin in the house of God. Amen. And stay in the house of God faithfully. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we have in this day a misconception of everything that is true in God's Word.
Amen.
It's all over as far as the things that go on in various churches. And I won't take time to start in that line of path, but I'll guarantee you, if we follow the Bible, we're going to find a different thing than we find in the general public today. All right? So, what are we talking about? Following Jesus. Real saints not only persevere, but they're preserved. They're not only preserved, but they persevere. We're studying in the book of James where he tells us, if you want to show me your faith, he says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, by what I do. So there has to be some continuation. You're not saved by works, because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And by the way, it's completely and totally grace.
Amen.
But works are the outcome. They're the fruit of it and not the root of it. Ephesians chapter 2, begin with verse 8 through 10. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. And it says, not of works. So that means it's not of works. Lest any man should boast. But then it tells us in verse 10, and Paul does not disagree with James in this matter, because here he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So the life of the Christian is what you're talking about then. Continuance. A real believer, number three, we said a real believer is one who is converted to the faith. A real believer is one who continues in the faith. Now then, number three, a real believer is one who communicates the faith. Preachers, deacons, laymen and women, all the church. Remember in the Old Testament where Joshua just sent a few up to battle, and they came back defeated, and later on he got other instruction. There were more reasons and more ramifications to that than I've just mentioned. But later on, when he was to go up to battle against the enemy, the command to Joshua was, take all the people of war, take all the soldiers with you. Now, all the children of God, every one of us here, men, women, boys, and girls, are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us. Remember when we used to sing the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before"? Well, we sing it sometimes even now, but I wonder if we're marching as to war, or if we're just, you know, going along, plodding along at the end of the line, or maybe not even going at all. So we ought to be a militant band in the church, the militant church, and go do what the Lord wants us to do. Preachers, deacons, laymen, women, all the church. Galatians 2 verse 2 says, Paul communicated, we're talking about communication of the faith. Paul communicated unto them, listen, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Communicated. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. Let me turn to this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Paul was talking about the Thessalonian church, and he says, "From you sounded out the word of God." Does the word of God sound out through you and I? Do we communicate the faith that was given to us? Philemon, verse 6, there's only one chapter, but it says, "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual." That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Let that sink in. What does that mean? It means to produce the desired results. That it will have the proper effect. The effect of winning someone to the Lord.
Amen.
That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. And if we do not put forth the effort, it's certainly not going to become effectual. And we're talking about communication of the faith. Now let me give you some more things. In Mark 5 verse 19, there was a man named Legion, and Jesus delivered him. And the word to this man that was delivered of these many demons, what did Jesus say to him? Listen carefully. Jesus said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." If you have that faith, he had this deliverance. Can you imagine a man possessed with demons? Well, the devil gets a hold of us once in a while and tries to disrupt us. But can you imagine a man possessed with many demons? And Jesus delivered this man from that demonic possession. And he wanted to know, he wanted to go with Jesus, if you'll remember that incident. And Jesus said, "Go home and tell your friends what great things, how great things the Lord has done for thee." So we're to communicate the faith. Remember the woman of Samaria? When Jesus revealed her sinfulness, think of it for a moment. And she wanted that water of life that Jesus was talking about. What did he say? He says that the Son of Man is able to give you that living water. And he gave her that living water after revealing her sinfulness. And she went away into the city. And what did she say? Did she communicate that faith? She said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The first missionary woman. And she went forth to the city and told them, "Come see a man that told all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" In Acts 8 verse 4 and 5, I want you to listen to this verse. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 and 5. It says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad." Well, it tells us in verse 1 that all the believers, the church, was scattered abroad except the apostles. But verse 4 says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Then Philip went down to some city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Talking about communication of the faith. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. If you'll notice what happened. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias. And said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me?" Remember when he preached to the eunuch? He was communicating the faith. Do you and I fall short in this area of communication of the faith? We've told you about Paul communicated the faith. The Thessalonians sounded out the word of God. By the way, you find the same thing in the book of Romans, the first chapter, that Paul was writing to them. And Philemon, the communication of thy faith may be effectual. The man named Legion, go home and tell thy friends how great things God has done for you. The woman of Samaria, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. And on and on. And then all the believers in Acts chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, they were scattered everywhere preaching the word. Now then, the next point that I want to give you. I have some more on that, but I think our time's getting away, so I'll have to hurry. The next point I want to give you is this. A real believer is one who contends for the faith. Contends for the faith. Jude, we quoted it earlier, Jude 3 says that you should earnestly, let that word soak, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It doesn't say contentious contending, but it says contend earnestly for the faith. The Bible speaks of the unity of the faith in Ephesians 4, verse 13. We need to stand true to the fundamentals of the faith. I was talking to a fella, called me on the telephone the other day, wanting to know what we believe. He says, do you believe the doctrines of grace? And I said, we sure do. I said, we stand for the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of faith. And we believe that in the virgin birth of Christ, that, you know, you have amongst, in even ministerial realms today, people disputing and saying, well, it really doesn't make any difference. It makes all the difference between your soul salvation and heaven or hell.
Amen.
It makes all the difference in this world. If Jesus was merely a man, he could not save us. But he was God, manifest in the flesh, and therefore able to redeem us by his innocent shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible teaches, we believe in the virgin birth, and we believe in Christ's sinlessness. The Bible says he knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him was no sin. Jesus said, which of you convinceth me of sin? I can't even imagine attaching to the person of Christ sin in any form or fashion. We got all of these movies coming out of Hollywood showing you different aspects of what they think about. Remember that one they called The Great Temptation? I didn't see it, but I heard enough about it to know I don't need to see it.
Amen.
There's a lot of things, you know, someone says, did you see The Passion? No, I didn't, but I heard enough about it. I don't need to see it.
Brother.
I'll tell you one thing. Hollywood cannot rightly picture and portray Christ. And if you just deal with all those gory scenes of Christ on the cross, you're not going to get the message. That appeals to the outside. That's what people think. Now, you may have a different opinion about it. That's your privilege. You're right. But if you read the apostles, if you read the Gospels, and both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell of Christ dying on the cross, they do not magnify and just dwell upon the terrible scene of the cross. They speak of him being crucified, that he was crowned with a crown of thorns. They speak of his death, and they speak of his resurrection. They speak of his side being pierced and the blood coming out, blood and water, showing us that he shed his blood. But you don't find any of them. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. But he did not go into all the gory details of it. And when people think that just because you show all of these terrible things that you're going to lead people to Christ, and that's not God's message for today. The Passion, the movie The Passion, is not God's message to the world today. It's the word that is preached that is his message to the world. Now, as I say, it's your privilege to disagree if you want to. But I'm just saying we ought to contend for the faith. Stand true to the doctrines of grace. The atonement was by his precious blood that he shed on the cross. And his resurrection was a literal resurrection. On the third day he rose again. He appeared to the disciples, the apostles. And then he ascended to heaven after a due length of time into the heavenlies. And the Bible says this same Jesus that is taken up from you will so come in like manner when he comes again. The same way he went away. Visibly, bodily, literally, actually, he's going to come again. And then we find a real believer contends for the faith. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. Brother Stanley preached on your conscience this morning. How many heard it? If you didn't hear it, you missed a good sermon. Your conscience, think of it. People have one. And some people have their conscience seared with a hot iron. They depart from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, men of corrupt minds, listen, reprobate concerning the faith. What does that mean? They reject it is worthless. They refuse to accept it. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have kept the faith. So are you contending for the faith? Number 5, and the last point of our message. Don't get ready to go home yet because it's there. The last point of our message. And we'll turn to 2 Timothy. I'll read it for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to listen. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, is that time here? When they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what fables are, like fairy tales, like a lot of things that we hear this day and hour as well. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. That means we're to witness to people. And it says, make full proof of thy ministry. Now look, verse 6 and 7 and 8. For I am now ready, Paul says, I am now ready to be offered, excuse me, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me to that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. That's the context for the last point of our message, number 5. A real believer concludes this life in the faith. You know, when you live this life, the Bible says in Psalms, we finish this life as a tale that is told. How is your life going to end up? How is it going to come to a conclusion? I've thought about that a lot lately because I know I'm getting older and I know I'm not as good a health as I'd like to be. But whether we're young or old, you need to think about it. How are you going to conclude this life? How's it going to end up? With Paul, he says, I fought a good fight. The Christian life is a battle. We must fight if we're going to win. How and who did Paul, excuse me, I'm sorry. Who did Paul fight? Paul fought, first of all, himself. He had to battle with himself. And he fought circumstances. And he fought physical obstacles. He fought Jewish prejudice. He fought heathen superstition. He fought false teachers. He fought Satan himself. And God has given us the ability to rise and to fight against the evils of this world today. He fought a good fight. Then he says, I have finished my course. He had run the race of life and he had won. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. He'd finished his course. Some of his companions had departed from his company. You say, well, this friend of mine, and this one, he went back into the world, and this one did this way. Many fall by the wayside today. In fact, Paul spoke of one, and he says, Demas, having loved this present world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You'll find a lot of people like that. Love the present world. But he says, I've finished my course. How are you going to finish your course? He says, I've kept the faith. Not only deep within his own soul, but he had held it out and kept it for others. He'd been true to it. He'd kept it pure and true. And it makes a great deal of difference how we end up. The final outcome, the end result is what we're after. And I just pray every day that I can be faithful and be what God would have me to be until the time He says I'm going to take you out of this life. And if God will, by His grace, do that, I'll be thankful eternally. Will you be that? Will you stand true to the faith? Kept the faith. And then the reward. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all to him also that love His appearing. A crown of righteousness. This life is only temporal, but the blessings waiting all of us are eternal. He says in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 4, for our light affliction, Paul speaking of light affliction. Can you imagine that? For our light affliction, if you go back and read the things he suffered, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, for we look not on the things which are seen. He says those things which are seen are temporal, but on the things which are not seen. Because the things that are not seen are eternal. So we look on the eternal things. And he says it's not only for him, this crown of righteousness, not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing. We may be companions today in suffering here below, but we'll be companions in glory with Jesus above. Romans chapter 8, it says, Paul says, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let me read it for you. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter, listen carefully. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. He says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we may suffer, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, this present time, are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed in us. What are you looking for? How do you want to conclude this life? I want to conclude it in the faith. I want to fight the good fight, finish my course, keep the faith. And then the promise is there's going to be laid up a crown for us. And we trust that if you're here this morning and you never received Christ as your Savior, that you would trust Him, that you would accept Him and be saved. And if you're here and you need to follow the Lord in baptism, scriptural baptism, that you would come as we sing our invitation hymn as a pianist and song leader come. And if you're here and you need a church home, place of worship and service, you're invited to come. We're going to stand together just for a word of prayer, and then we'll sing the song that Brother Rich has selected here. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will take this message and use it for Your glory in any way that You would. In every heart, God, in every life.